The reading today is from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13, and can be found on page 875 of the Bibles on your chairs. That's Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13, on page 875. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money."
Well, Phillida, thank you very much for reading for us, and welcome to St. Nick's Church this morning, especially if this is your first ever visit with us. My name is Dan, if we haven't met, and I'm on the team for just one more day, because I'm moving back to America tomorrow. I know most of you said farewell to me last week. That was very kind of you. Thank you for that. Hello, I'm still here. I'm the awkward guy who doesn't know when to leave. Even more awkwardly, my last sermon here will be this slightly tricky passage in Luke's Gospel. As Chris said, we're just picking up where we left off in Luke. So Chris did Luke 15 a few months ago, and so here we are, Luke 16, the dishonest manager. Okay, I think there are two things about this passage that make it so tricky. And it just so happens that the trickiest parts of this passage are also the key to understanding what Jesus is saying to us. So let's take each of those tricky issues in turn. And we'll start with tricky issue number one. You may want to grab the handouts somewhere on your seats. You'll find an outline there on the back, which you'll find helpful for the next bit of our morning together. So there we go, tricky issue number one. Why is Jesus telling us to be like this man, the dishonest manager? Jesus often tells memorable stories about memorable characters, and the characters often serve as one of two things. Either they are role models, and Jesus wants us to be like them, or they are rogues, and Jesus does not want us to be like them. Now, this man in chapter 16 sounds like a rogue. So verse 1, he gets caught stealing from his boss. Verse 2, he gets the sack, no surprise there. Now he's in a pickle, and he's about to lose his job. His options are very limited. He's not strong enough to dig. He is too ashamed to beg. So what does he do? Well, verse 4, he decides he needs to make friends very quickly. He needs people who will give him a place to stay. So, verse 5, he summons his master's debtors one by one, and he slashes all of their debts. So a bill for 100 measures of oil becomes 50. A bill for 100 measures of wheat becomes 80. And I guess he's counting on his master's debtors to return the favor and take care of him when he's out of a job. It is a reasonably clever plan, apart from the fact that it's dishonest. Now, I was curious, how much money are we talking about here? So maybe he's just fiddling a few expenses. So maybe what he's done is the equivalent of taking a private car home, ordering takeaway on the boss's dime. I wanted to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. It would certainly make my job easier, because somehow I need to explain why Jesus thinks this man is commendable. So I did some research on commodities prices, and my heart sank when I did the maths, because it turns out that 50 measures of oil would be worth 10,000 pounds today, and 20 measures of wheat would be worth 1,000 pounds today. So in total, he stole at least 11,000 pounds from his boss, and I take it there are more than two debtors. We're just told about two of them. I think it's fair to say he did a lot more than fiddle his expenses. Even by the standards of the square mile, which you may not think are very high, but even by those standards, this man is a total rogue. So, what do you think the boss will say to this man? Just think about that for a moment. What would you say to a man who just spent the entire day robbing you blind? Well, look at how the story ends in verse 8. I think this is very surprising. Verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. He commended him. Now, if you're scratching your head at this point, that makes two of us. And to make matters worse, Jesus then holds up this rogue as a role model for us. And he says that we should be like this man. That is tricky. What do you do with a story like that? Well, I think there is a key to understanding the parable. It's actually the same with any parable that Jesus teaches. And the key is this. We need to look for the punchline. We need to find the main teaching point of the parable. So whenever Jesus tells a parable, he often ends with a takeaway lesson, what I call the punchline. And when it's there, the punchline basically tells you the point that Jesus is trying to make. So, what are we supposed to learn from this man? Well, there it is, verse 8. There's the punchline. And see if you can spot the repeated idea as I read the verse again. Verse 8, Jesus says, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. So you may have noticed the repeated idea is shrewdness. Jesus wants us to be shrewd like this man. Now, that's the teaching point of the parable, and that's the punchline. Now, just to be absolutely clear, Jesus is not saying that we should copy this man's dishonesty. So please don't go back to the office and start doing dodgy deals. That is not the point of this parable. You will get into all kinds of trouble when you start overreading parables and taking away lessons that Jesus never intended to teach. The takeaway lesson is verse 8. Jesus wants us to be shrewd like this man. And I take it being shrewd simply means being prepared for the future. So it means acting now in light of a future that you know is coming. That is exactly what this manager does. So once he finds that he's going to get the sack, what does he do? He gets ready for it. He prepares for the future that he knows is coming. That's what it means to be shrewd. And at the end of the day, even his boss cannot help admire his shrewdness. And even Jesus tells us that we should be shrewd like this man. Okay, but what does it look like for a Christian to be shrewd, to be prepared for the future? Well, I think Jesus tells us in verse 9. And again, as we read this verse again, notice two things. Notice what Jesus says about money, and notice what Jesus says about the future. Let me read verse 9 again. And Jesus says, "Just so I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." Okay, so first, did you notice what Jesus says about money there in the middle of the verse? Jesus says that unrighteous wealth, that is the money of this world, he says that it will fail. It will not last. Now, you may think the point is so obvious that it doesn't need to be made, but against our better judgment, don't we sometimes act like our money will last forever? Here in my pocket, I've got a 10-pound note. Here we go. Here's a question. How much will this be worth to me when I'm dead? And that's a when, not an if. It doesn't matter if it's 10 pounds or 10,000 pounds. You cannot take your money with you when you die. Jesus says that money will not last. It will fail. Again, it is an obvious point, but maybe it's a point we need to hear again. A second, did you notice what Jesus says about the future? Look at the last two words of verse 9. Eternal dwellings, Jesus says, which is the place we will live forever. So when Jesus says verse 9, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, I take it he means use your money to help people get to heaven. That's the future that matters, according to Jesus. Because unlike money, people in heaven will last forever. So make sure that you have as many friends as possible in heaven. That's the future that matters, according to Jesus. So put that together and do the maths. 10,000 years from now, which do you think will matter more? How much money you had when you died, or how many people you helped get to heaven? I once heard an illustration that drove this point home for me. A man went to the shop and bought a roll of red stickers and green stickers. Then he went home and put a red sticker on anything that would not last. I'm moving back to the States tomorrow, and I just spent the whole week throwing half of my worldly possessions in the bin. That's the kind of stuff that would have a red sticker on it, things that will not last. Then this man put a green sticker on anything that would last forever. So red stickers and green stickers. When he was done, his house was covered in red. Everything had a red sticker on it. The only things that had green on them weren't things at all. They were his wife and his children. Now, I'm not sure how his wife felt about having a green sticker stuck on her, but the point is, how much do we invest in the red things that will fail, and how much do we invest in the green things, the eternal well-being of people? Again, what could be more important than helping people get to heaven? If you're joining us as a guest, I'm sorry to be so blunt about money. We don't normally talk about money in this meeting, but when it comes up in the Bible, like it does here, we simply teach what the Bible says. And if Jesus has something to say about money, then we want to hear what he has to say. But if you would call yourself a Christian, let me ask you a question, if I may. And please forgive me if this is personal and intrusive, but I think it is the question Jesus is asking us here. Are you being shrewd with your money? The manager in this parable is a total rogue. He gets a lot of things wrong. But Jesus says that he gets one thing right, perhaps the most important thing. He acts now in light of the future he knows is coming. He acts shrewdly. And even a rogue like him knows how to do that. And maybe that's why Jesus uses such an unsavory character to make the point. I mean, he could have used a more commendable man, but why does he use such a rogue? Well, I think it's intended to be a slap in the face. It's like saying to someone, a monkey could do this better than you. My old boss said that to me once. Let me tell you, I felt about this small. By old boss, I don't mean Chris. I mean the boss I had before him. Chris is too kind to say something like that, even if it's true. Anyway, the manager in this parable has the moral compass of a monkey. He gets sacked for stealing from his boss, and then he spends his last day in the office stealing even more. He has no scruples whatsoever. But Jesus tells his disciples, even a monkey like him knows how to be shrewd. Surely you can do better than that. Verse 8, I think, is a rebuke to his disciples. Have a look again. Verse 8, Jesus says, the sons of this world are more shrewd than the sons of light. But surely it should be the other way around. Surely his disciples should know better. Say what you will about the square mile, you've got to be shrewd to make that kind of money. But Jesus says that Christians should be even more shrewd than the people of the square mile. And I wonder what you make of that. I guess we'd all say that Christians should be humble and prayerful and loving. But what about shrewd? Would we say that Christians should be shrewd? Now, I think it's important to say here our financial circumstances are very different. Some of you are single parents, and you may need every last penny to provide for your families. And some of you are single, and you may have a lot of disposable income. Those are very different financial circumstances. But however much money we have, surely the question we should be asking is this: how much can I give? How much can I give to the work of the gospel? So how can I use my money to help people get to heaven? Now, the answer could be very little, or the answer could be very much. But surely that's the question we should be asking. How much can I give? I wonder if sometimes we go about this the wrong way. Because in my weaker moments, and there are many, I know the question in my heart goes something like this: how much can I keep? So what is the minimum I must give so that I can keep the rest for myself. And I think Jesus would say, that is not being shrewd. If you're a Christian, then you know two things are true about the future. You know that your money will not last, and you know that people in heaven will last forever. So what does it look like to be shrewd with your money? Well, I think it's obvious, isn't it? Set aside whatever you need for you and your family, then give as much as you can to the work of making Jesus known. Use your money to help people get to heaven, Jesus says. Now again, for some of you, that will mean quite a lot of money. For others, it will mean almost nothing at all. The amount doesn't matter. The point is this. Are you thinking straight about your money? And are you thinking straight about heaven? Again, two questions. How much can I give? Or how much can I keep? And Jesus would say that only one of those questions is shrewd. Listen again to what he says in verse 9. Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Okay, that brings us to our second tricky issue. What's at stake? So what could happen if we get this wrong? Now, this came as a surprise to me, but I think the stakes are as high as they can be. And Jesus says in these verses that money is the kind of thing that can take you away from God. It's the kind of thing that can exclude you from heaven. And I think that's very surprising. So we all know that money cannot get you into heaven. We know that we cannot buy our way in. We all know that. But I wonder if we realize that money can also keep you out. It can keep you from getting in. And just to be clear, it's not the amount of money that matters. There are many examples of very rich people who become followers of Jesus. In fact, we'll meet one later in Luke's gospel, a man named Zacchaeus. Jesus doesn't care how much money you have. There's nothing wrong with having lots of money. But he does care about our attitude to money. And he says, be careful with money, because money is the kind of thing that can take you away from God. Have a look with me at verse 13. I think it's very clear there in verse 13. Jesus says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And I don't think it gets any clearer than that. Now, I cannot tell you the number of Christians I meet in the city who think they are the exception to this rule. They think they can have their cake and eat it too. And they often point to other Christians who seem to have it all, so they have the house, the career, the whatever, etc. And they say, if they can have it both ways, then why can't I do the same? That was me for the first few years of my Christian life. I thought I could have it both ways. But over the years, I've actually met some of these Christians who seem to have it all. And do you know what I found? They did not compromise on their way to the top. They concerned themselves with one thing only, serving God. And they let God worry about how much money they would have. And again, at every point, they had to make a decision between God and money or God and career. They chose God. And if that meant losing the money or the career, so be it. Now, please don't fool yourself into thinking that you're the exception to this rule like I did. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money. Again, it doesn't get any clearer than that. So here's a question you should ask about any decision, especially decisions involving money. Who am I serving? Who am I serving? And if it's not serving God, then don't do it. It's not worth it. I think verse 11 explains what's at stake. So have a look with me at verse 11. And Jesus says, if you have not been faithful with the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? So what's at stake? Well, on the one hand, you have unrighteous wealth, which is money that will fail. On the other, you have the true riches, which is heaven itself. And nothing you might gain in this world is worth putting that at risk. So Jesus says, be careful with your money. Verse 11, if you have not been faithful with unrighteous wealth, that is money, then you may end up losing the true riches that is heaven. Because money is the kind of thing that can take you away from God. Now, I hope you take that warning in the spirit that Jesus intended. So again, if you were here for Luke 15 a few months ago, you may remember that Jesus is the kind of person who loves to seek the lost, and he rejoices when they are found. He is willing to do whatever it takes to get us into heaven. In fact, he's willing to lay down his life to make that possible. These are warnings given out of love and concern for us. Jesus wants to keep us safe. And yes, he cares about what's happening to us now, but he cares even more about making sure we get to heaven. So listen to what Jesus says about money. He says, be shrewd and be careful. And remember that he says this out of love. Why don't I close in a short prayer? Father, we thank you for these loving warnings to us. Please help us to listen to your warnings about money. We cannot serve two masters. If we love the one, we will despise the other. And please help us to hear that. Please help us also to be shrewd with our money. Help us to see the future clearly. Help us to invest wisely for the future, for the eternal well-being of others. Help us to spend our money on the things that will last, not on things that will fail. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.